This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Antoinette Grajeda. Slime molds are not plants or animals, but they share the characteristics of both, and while they are found all over the world, they remain mostly a mystery to scientists. They come in all shapes and sizes, ranging from yellow-tinted blobs to pinkish spheres. Laura Walker, a graduate student at the University of Arkansas, is working towards a doctoral degree in the Department of Biological Sciences. She has identified 6 species never before recorded in Panama for her research project. This past summer, Laura became the first scientist to collect slime molds from soils in Panama's Barro Colorado Nature Monument. In doing so, she became one of the first researchers to systematically take samples of slime molds, the most abundant predators of soil bacteria and fungi in tropical soils. Last month, Laura stopped by the studio to talk to Ozarks at Large's Kyle Kellums about her research with slime molds.
I learned about them in a botany class, and they're not plants, so that's already kind of funny.
But there aren't many protus.
It's true.
Classes to be taken.
It's true. In undergraduate, yeah, here, well, they learn about them pretty early on because there's so many people studying them. But so I learned about them in botany, and I just thought they were so beautiful and interesting, and so I just became like a side interest of mine, and then I was working in molecular biology, completely separate from ecology, from slime molds. And I started working on my master's degree at Washington University, and I did an independent study one semester on myxomycetes, and nobody knows anything about them there. They, sure, whatever, you know.
And myxomycetes are a kind of slime
mold. That's the kind of slime mold that I study. And so I did a little experiment in my kitchen with a microscope that I acquired, and just learned a lot about them, and then I thought I wanted to do a PhD program, and I had owned one of Dr. Stevenson's books.
And we should point out Dr. Stevenson here at the university has this beautiful book of slime mold photographs.
Yes, yes. He's very well known. He's great. And so I contacted him and thought, well, maybe it's worth a shot. And he emailed me right back and said, send me your CV. And I was so honored.
It's a tight-knit group, those of you who research, study, and and exchange information.
Yeah, so here at the university we have, I'd say, somewhere around maybe 5 people that are really interested in myxomycetes or slime molds. But in the U.S., I mean, that's a large portion of us.
Really?
I don't actually know the numbers. I'd say worldwide there's under 100 people that are really are really studying them.
Okay, I want to go back to this experiment you did in your kitchen.
Sure.
You just kind of threw that out there. You did an experiment in your kitchen with a microscope. So you would grow?
So, yeah, I would grow everything. We have this technique where we can just pick up. So they're anywhere where plants are.
If we were to walk out down to the trail here.
We could definitely just pick up a handful of leaves off the floor and put them in a Petri dish. Get them wet, and then wait for, eventually they'll grow. And so we just monitor these plates under the microscope and wait for them to appear, the fruiting bodies. And so that's what I did in my kitchen.
It doesn't sound that bad.
Yeah, that's how I learned all about them, mostly.
We suspect they have a pretty important role.
Exactly.
In what's happening.
Mm-hmm. So they eat bacteria and fungi, which, as you know, are the main decomposers of plant material around the world. And as they eat those other organisms, then they're recycling the nutrients back into the forest ecosystem. And so, and recently we found out that slime molds are one of the, probably the most abundant of these predators in the soil that are eating bacteria and fungi. And so they have a really big role in the nutrient cycling that takes place in the forest ecosystem.
You have been studying some, you're the first, perhaps, or are the first, to see some of these slime molds in the soil where you saw them.
In Panama, yes.
Yeah.
So there's been a little bit of work done with the soil myxomycetes in temperate regions, but really none in the tropics. And as with most organisms, we expect that they're going to be more diverse and more abundant in the tropics. And so this is the first time anyone's done any work in the soil in the tropics, which is pretty exciting because we have ideas of what we're going to find, but we really don't know. And so my work this summer in Panama, there's only been a handful of surveys done there ever. And so far I'm up to about 50 species probably, and 6 of them have never been reported in Panama, although they have been reported in other areas. They're not new species. But I'm sure there's going to be lots more.
How hard is it to distinguish species if you're already in a microscope? So is it a simple task to say this is one and not the other?
Well, for Dr. Stevenson, it's a pretty simple task, but I'm still learning. It's sometimes a matter of just a little bit of a color difference or shape, size. There's lots of different features we use to distinguish between species, but it's still pretty challenging.
So what is a typical day of research? You look in the microscope? You make notations?
Yes, I do a lot of microscope work. So because we have these cultures going, and to find the myxomycetes, we have to look under the microscope. So every day I have these plates that I put under the microscope and just survey and look for fruiting bodies. And then when I find them, I pull them out and put them in little boxes so we can save them as specimens. And actually, the university here has the largest collection in America.
Are they hardy creatures?
Yes. Yeah. So once they're in their spore, in the fruiting body, the spores are viable for years and years, decades. So they're in a resting stage.
Okay.
So in that way, they can survive for decades, yeah.
Have you thought that perhaps through your research, your field studies, you might come across a previously undiscovered species?
Yeah, I hope so. I think it'd be really cool.
Now, with that doesn't come the responsibility or the honor of naming?
Yes.
Yeah. Have you thought about that?
I have thought about it. I think every scientist thinks about it. I wonder. I don't know. It is, Dr. Stevenson has discovered probably 60, more than 60. I have no idea. But it's also a chore. It's a challenge and a chore because you have to, if you're the first one to discover it, you have a big responsibility of characterizing it properly and doing really nice descriptions. And so it would be a lot of work, but I don't know what I would name it.
You have to go to the Latin?
Yes.
That's a rule.
Mm-hmm. It would require a Latin binomial, yeah.
You couldn't call it like the Ozark blind?
No, but no. I could translate it to Latin.
Oh, okay. Now, here's the question. I don't know if this is a fair question. And if it isn't, I apologize. But why? Why should I, the layperson, care that you and your colleagues are doing this research?
That's a really good question. And, I think it's just the same as with any organism. They're vital players in the ecosystem, in the world. And so we need to know what's going on. Oftentimes people overlook all these single-celled organisms, but really that's where everything's at. And that's what's really running things, I think. And without these microbes, things would be much, much different.
Laura Walker is a graduate student at the University of Arkansas working towards a doctoral degree in the Department of Biological Sciences. Last month, she stopped by the studio to talk to Ozarks at Largest Kyle Kellums about her research with slime molds. To watch a video about slime mold research at the U of A, go to ozarksatlarge.com.